Coming up on KUCB News, City Council plans for DC lobbying trip, and Alaskans who buy their own health insurance will get help from the federal government. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Barrett Wilbur with some local news on July 12th, 2017. It's all about high-speed internet. At least, that's what City Manager Dave Martinson believes should be the focus of the City Council's upcoming lobbying trip to D.C.
It's really about high-speed internet. We will continue to beat that drum.
Martinson says he's had discussions with two companies, GCI and Quintillion, who are looking into the feasibility of bringing fiber optic cable to the island. That competition, he believes, might make high-speed internet a reality sooner than may have been expected. Due to recent events like North Korea's intercontinental ballistic missile tests, Counselor Udelka LeClaire also wants to make conversations with the Navy a priority.
Security has been a concern from a lot of people.
Citing four recent Navy vessel visits to Unalaska waters, LeClaire is extremely interested in enticing their ships to pass through the city. Also on the docket, city councilors discussed proposed changes to Unalaska Marine Center tariffs. They agreed to move forward with a 3% increase on everything except for fuel, which has gone down, and cruise ships, which will see a 7% increase. The City Council is expected to revisit the UMC tariffs next month. A group of Russian adventurers, led by Dr. Mikhail Molokov, will arrive in Dillingham next week to retrace a journey made by the Russian explorer Ivan Iakovlevich Vasiliev in 1830. KDLG's Allison Mollenkamp has more.
Molokov has been coming to Alaska since 2009 to retrace routes taken by Russian explorers in the 19th century. Tim Troll is executive director of the Bristol Bay Heritage Land Trust. He first heard of Molokov's expeditions 2 years later.
I first encountered him when I got a phone call in 2011 from Kaliganik. And a friend of mine, Jerry Leboff, wanted to know if I knew anything about a portage to get from the Nushagak River into the Kuskokwim River drainage. And I said, well, I didn't know where it might be, but the last time I knew anybody probably would have tried to do that in the summertime was during the era of Russian America.
It turned out that era was exactly what Molokov was interested in. He's an explorer in his own right. He was named a hero of the Russian Federation for his expeditions to the North Pole. His interest in Alaska was sparked by his connection to another Russian explorer, Lavrentiy Zagaskin. They're both from the town of Ryazan, Russia, to the southeast of Moscow. Zagaskin explored areas of Alaska and wrote ethnographic accounts of his meetings with the Yupik people. He also lived in the 1800s. Now Molokov works to replicate the conditions of his journeys. Tim Troll says the largely untouched conditions in Alaska make that uniquely possible.
The first Russian explorations into this region were in 1818, which is only 10 years after Lewis and Clark did their famous journey. And I always like to think if Lewis and Clark had come back today, what would they see? They would probably not be able to find many of the places where they camped or explored where the early Russian explorers, it would be the same, pretty much the same.
This year, Molokov and his team will follow the path taken by Ivan Iakovlevich Vasiliev in 1830. Troll explained the route.
They plan to basically paddle up the Wood River, paddle up through the lakes to Kulik Lake, which is the top lake of the lower Wood River lakes, and then portage over into the upper Tikchik Lakes. And then he'll travel up the Tikchik River all the way up to the very last lake in the park, which is Nishlik Lake. And at Nishlik Lake, at the very far west end, there is a way to get through the mountains from that lake to the Aniak River, which then flows into the Kuskokwim.
All told, the trip will take about 3.5 weeks. The hard work helps Malakhov connect to his history. However, it also lets him connect with the people of Alaska that he meets along the way, Troll says.
He's also very conscious of, you know, the fact that the relationship between Russia and the United States has not always been very good, and it's maybe not even getting better right now. But he really believes that relationships between people, if not between governments, will ultimately change the way things occur, maybe not in our lifetimes, but eventually.
In that spirit, Troll is putting together a reception for the Russian group next Tuesday evening at the Dillingham Senior Center. For KDLG, I'm Allison Mollenkamp.
A pending lawsuit is putting a Trump administration request for voter data on hold. Alaska will not be providing voter information to the White House for the time being. The Trump administration's Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity has suspended its request for voter information from the Alaska Division of Elections. The commission's nationwide voter fraud investigation has been put on hold because of a pending lawsuit by the Electronic Privacy Information Center. The lawsuit alleges that the commission failed to ensure submitted data would be secure. It also says the request for voter information is a violation of citizens' constitutional right to privacy. On June 28th, the Election Integrity Commission's vice chair, Chris Kobach, sent a letter to Alaska Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott requesting all publicly available voter information. Under state law, some information, such as a voter's driver's license number, social security information, and date of birth, is confidential. Alaska had been preparing a response that only contained information available under the Alaska Public Records Act. According to the governor's deputy spokesperson, Jonathan Taylor, the commission has functionally withdrawn their original request for data, and the state will not be providing any information. NBC News reports that 19 states had refused the original request for data. 26 other states, including Alaska, agreed to only provide data that was already publicly available. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has given the green light to the state of Alaska's reinsurance program, which helps people who buy their own health insurance. Healthcare Administrator Seema Verma oversees the Obama-era healthcare law for the Trump administration. She says the approval means the federal government will pay $48 million next year to help shore up Alaska's individual health insurance market.
Our analysis shows that the premium should go down by 20%, so that's going to be helpful not only for the people that are getting subsidies, but also for the people that don't get subsidies. So we're very enthusiastic about this.
Alaska is the first to get what's known as a state innovation waiver under the Affordable Care Act. The federal government will now fund most of Alaska's reinsurance program, which the state designed to avoid adding to the federal deficit. It's essentially a pay-it-forward approach. The Alaska legislature established the program last year by setting aside $55 million for reinsurance. Those funds cover insurance claims for Alaskans with some of the most expensive care in the risk pool. Paying those claims held premiums down for everybody, and according to the state, saved the federal government about $50 million in premium subsidies under the Affordable Care Act. The government has essentially agreed to send that savings back to Alaska to bring premiums down more and entice more uninsured Alaskans to buy coverage. Senator Lisa Murkowski says a more stable market could attract another insurer to provide competition.
The hope is that you don't need to have this backstop going well out into the future.
The news comes as Senate Republicans are trying to fashion a replacement bill for the Affordable Care Act. Senator Dan Sullivan says the draft he's seen would allow the innovation funds to continue and has other similar programs for the states with more flexibility. Like Murkowski, Sullivan says federal approval of the waiver doesn't make it more likely he'll vote for or against the draft health care bill.
You know, I wouldn't connect them directly in terms of, oh, just because this happened, that makes it more likely.
Aviva Arendine is a fan of the Alaska Innovation Waiver. She is a fellow at the Center on Budget Policies and Priorities, a left-of-center think tank.
This is a model of the, you know, the road not taken so far in Washington, which is actually focusing on specific identifiable challenges and trying to craft specific solutions that make things work better instead of trying to tear down the entire structure, which so far is what Congress has been focused on.
The innovation waiver is set to pay out $330 million to Alaska over 5 years. the yearly sum will vary, especially if a new healthcare law lowers Alaska's insurance subsidies. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Barrett Wilbur, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM.